listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
My voice sounds funny. Oh, okay. This was me singing, and Sun is Going Down. I think we'll be playing after our surprising phone call from my friend Julie Gale. Hello, Julie. You are not on the phone yet, but we'll talk to you soon. Also, today in the studio, we have friends who I think they were guests twice in my show. No, once. Today is it twice. Okay, then maybe. It's funny. Life seems like goes so fast. And okay, American Ballet of Los Angeles. We have a wonderful couple. Could you introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Eddie Hawks.
And Cat Hawks.
Oh my gosh. And these two beautiful people, and again, I would like to talk about ballet, but also about the diet they are on and the way how they run and move and the way how they came to the radio station. And, you know, I'm complaining eating my Valentine's cookies that I don't know why I cannot lose weight, but we'll find out what they do to look like they look outside of that, of course, dancers. Then, yeah, it's Monday today. We really are a little cold. Yes? What's happened?
A little bit. I don't know. The weather's turned.
Gosh, we came again to the valley and it's cold.
It was a little chilly. Yeah.
The coolest way for Accent On is to have people who have an accent. And honestly, we have, I think today, five different people with different accents. Hello, Ronan. He will need to say, can you say hi to us? Okay.
Hello, everybody.
And everybody is not good enough. Can you say you are from originally from?
Israel.
Israel. How many years in America?
Five. A little over five.
A little. You know, your accent is just pretty almost American, you think, or not?
No. I got a lot of words that it's hard for me to, you know, pronounce.
Yes, and obviously everybody needs to know that I cannot survive without Ronan in LA Talk Radio. Ronan is the brain, and he is just an engineer. He knows what's happening in every studio, and he's the one who is watching us and seeing if we are failing or music is not working or we are just not working or our heads are not working, and he's there always to help us. Today, I need his help, and last Monday also, because Mary Grace, my wonderful co-host, and she just wrote me a beautiful sad email. My car overheated on my way being towed to a body shop. We'll call you later. Okay, then. My car needs new radiator. I'm in Marina Ray. I don't think I could make it to the show. I feel so sorry, Mary. I am so scared if this will happen to me because I cannot imagine me in a blonde with high heels in middle of the evening just, you know, saying something coming out of front of my car like smoke. And then, oh my gosh, what to do, left, right? I have no idea. Then please, God, prohibit it. Never let me be in a situation like that. But Mary is the type of the woman that she handles wonderfully situation like that. We love you, Mary, and I hope your car will be healthy, and next week you will be there. Here with me and Ronan can just enjoy a little bit peace. Not today. Anyway, okay, then we know that Ronan is from Israel. Ilona Europa is from Poland, okay? That's why we call Accent On, because the accented host just cannot get rid of this accent and will stay with me forever. Now, okay, Eddie. You are having no accent, but originally your roots are from?
Actually, my roots are Mexican-Cuban.
You have an accent something.
Okay, no, and actually I do have an accent.
You do?
Yeah, I don't have a standard American accent. I moved away and was in Europe for about 11 years, so I picked up kind of some accents, some British accents, and some other accents over there.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we'll come back to our accented guest, but I have the most accented person on my phone, on the radio, and this is Julie. Julia, hi.
Hello, Alona and your listeners. How wonderful to be on your show. Thanks so much for asking me on this exciting night as I head to Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas.
Okay, Julia, I just love you. You are my friend, and you know, I'm so excited somebody has more fun than I have, because going to Vegas is a little bit even more fun than have my own show, Accent on LA Talk Radio, I think. Although I cannot spend more than two nights in Vegas, then I'm so bored and without money and I need to go back, hopefully not with broken car. But Julia Gale, you called yourself the little Brit with the big personality, and I will agree with that.
I do, because I get to do so many amazing things and play so many incredible characters for all ages, Alona. So it's a great deal of fun to play across the broad spectrum of people.
What are you doing in Vegas?
What am I doing in Vegas? Well, I'm playing a mascot for a company from Japan, and it's a great big huge bear.
How
huge? You can totter around on it.
How huge?
You can only... It's huge. You to get anywhere, you have to kind of go sideways because he's so big. If you want to go down any kind of alleyway or down a little straight area, you have to kind of go sideways. His head is just ginormous.
What is this? And what is this mascot? Can you tell us? What is this?
Yes. It's called Rilakkuma.
Rilakkuma.
And it's a Japanese company called SanX.
SanX.
And I have also played the real Hello Kitty from Sanrio.
Yes.
As well as Garfield for its creator.
Okay.
So there's three major characters.
Yeah, I know you are a character, and I know you play every character that can be, because I will talk also about your abilities. You are a very, very flexible woman, and outside of that, you are tiny little things. You are so tiny. You are maybe 100 pounds or even less?
Yes, about 97 pounds, and this head is just gigantic and so heavy.
How are you breathing inside of this cute, what was the name of this mascot again?
Yes, this particular mascot is called Rilakkuma.
Rilakkuma.
And it's absolutely beautiful. It's a top quality mascot. But underneath, there are very few little air holes, and it is very hot, and the air circulation isn't that brilliant. So we have to do short breaks in between playing, maybe 25 minutes on, 15 minutes off, 25 minutes on. Yeah. And obviously, the longer I play it, the heavier and heavier and heavier it gets.
Okay, but
so behind the scenes...
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to go to bathroom, what you are doing?
I'm so sorry, can you just repeat that?
Good that you didn't understand. If you need to go pee... This is like unexpected. How long
well,
it takes you to
it
take this
to
off?
Be, it has to be coordinated with my breaks, of course. And it's the difficult one because one is told to hydrate. Drink lots of water.
Yes.
But of course, if you drink too much water, then interferes with your performance. So it's a bit of a difficult one. But the funniest thing is it's so difficult to walk in. And I was trying to say it, and you just totter in it. Wow. Your little tiny footsteps, tiny, tiny, tiny little steps in it. And then the children, they run at you. And you kind of wobble. And you have to be so careful you don't wobble over.
Did you ever fell in a big costume like that, a big mascot?
No. I had to have a minder to walk around with me. When I played Hello Kitty, the real Hello Kitty in a nightclub in Hollywood for about 3,000 people, I was asked to go onto the stage. Goodness knows how I managed to get up the stairs in the pitch black in this costume. And when I went out onto the stage with the DJ, they were shrieking and howling for my character, for Hello Kitty, on the stage. And it was like experiencing being a pop star. It was just extraordinary.
But you are. You are the best as UK pop star. You know, Julia, I am so happy I have this amazing guest with me, because I hope we all will get together, because, you know, the type of ballet or production of ballet is not what we all think ballet is. It's really pop. pop ways of treating dancing. Dancing, very visual. It's got a lot of things also to do with children. And I think something between you and Kat and me, maybe even, you know, and American Ballet is something there in the future that we will put something amazing on the stage. And I hope you'll be entertaining us. And maybe Hello Kitty will come to Los Angeles again. Or maybe you are going on this funky little tall legs. How you call this? The things that you walk and you are like 20 feet tall. How you call that? Stilts?
Yes. So the dance sounds absolutely incredible. I trained in dance myself at a stage school in London, and what you're talking about sounds beautiful, really lovely.
Yeah, I hope we'll put some nice production, but explain, because you probably didn't get, because I have an accent and you have an accent, it's nothing worse with two people with an accent talking on a cell phone on the way to Vegas, but you are walking on a stilts, yes, also?
I'm not going to be walking on stilts in Las Vegas, not this time. Sometimes the casinos do ask me to do these big events, but on this occasion I'm working at the Magic Convention, at the Convention Center, as this character, and last year I played the same amazing Japanese character at the Licensing Expo at the Mandalay Bay. So these are very major events, and I have to have terrific stamina to do hours and hours of it, and a lot of resting behind the scenes. It's really very, very unglamorous behind the scenes, and very, very exciting for people to visually see the character in front of the scenes. So two very differing sides of the coin there.
Okay, before I will say bye-bye and a happy drive to Vegas, I would like to give everybody who listens to your website, because if anybody needs you for some good party or children party, or wants to hire you for corporate events or on some types of celebrity events or red carpet functions, they need to just go and check you out www.happyeventsparties.com.
It's happyeventsandparties.com and Julia Gale showbizpersonality.com.
I just love you. Again, I know I ate the end in between, but again, I will say www.happyeventsandparties.com. And Julia, we love you, and I cannot wait to meet again with all of our guests personally and see what we can put together for children or for grown-ups who just like magic. Okay, love you. Bye-bye.
I know you, and bye-bye.
Bye, sweetie, bye. Okay, we are not in Vegas, but I feel in a way like I am, because magic, Vegas, losing money, and Julia with beautiful smile, and she's, like I said, very tiny girl with so many gorgeous ideas, and then I have this amazing guest. Okay, Kate. Kat, your accent is from?
Oh, gosh, my accent is predominantly probably British, because I grew up in England. Yes. I was born in New Zealand, but I didn't spend much time there. I was only 9 months when I actually left.
Okay, obviously we have so many people speaking accent, and for the first time I will say our accent on the show is 100% accented.
It's full on.
Yes, but before we'll start talking about what is in front of us and what is the future for your ballet, and I would like to play maybe something really happy also. Sun is going down, and in LA for sure sun is going down, and I think you played and danced to the song on one of your performances. We'll talk about this.
Yeah.
Love you, people. Sun is going down. Ilona Europa and Dom Capuano.
Yeah.
And we'll start talking later.
That's a little
bit later. Thank you. I like my own songs.
Oh, well, we love it. We love that song, Ilona.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Yes, it's so hard to write happy music. Everybody thinks that happy is so easy. Easy is to write sad songs, you know, because like, oh, I feel so sad almost. But then when you succeed, you know, make people happy. Oh, you want to sad song. No, make people happy. It's very hard to make happy tune. And then when we listen to radio and we tap, think that probably a person who wrote needed to be in very good mood to do that, because you need to be in good mood to write happy songs, you know, and you cannot entertain people if you are sad. You need to be in happy mood too if you want to make people be happy. Anyway, Kat.
Yes.
Okay. I know you were using Sun Is Going Down in one of your wonderful performances, and of course you both are directors of amazing the American Ballet of Los Angeles, and it's so beautiful because it's founded by both of you. Yes.
Yes. Right.
And how many years ago?
It was founded in 2010.
Three years
going on to our third season right now.
In a way, you can say 3 years. In another way, you say, wow, it's only 3 years. Because putting, you know, some company of, I don't know how many people is involved in.
Well, we have about 50 dancers that involve guest dancers and the dancers that are in company and also actors and singers.
Yeah. 50.
About 50, yeah.
That's a lot. And if you put performance, you are using how many people mostly?
Usually for the performances we've done so far, it's been about 20 to 25 performers.
Yeah. That's still a lot.
For each show.
Okay, then let's talk about Giselle. Because
Giselle.
Yes, yeah. I know that you were using Sun Is Going Down
Yeah, we did. We used Sun Is Going Down in the beginning of the second act. It opens up the second act.
Oh, my gosh.
It also opens up the first act. So it's like the opener for both acts.
Yeah. Do you have this on the video?
We do.
I really want to put this on accent.
Oh, we should get together.
Absolutely.
And do that.
Absolutely.
Have a happy party.
No, I just want
be
to
fun.
Put this part
on
a Facebook and just see what's going on. And I want to, of course, see because I couldn't make it and I was heartbroken. Double meaning. I really was heartbroken. Anyway, but okay. 3 years ago, two of you beautiful people, gorgeous. Like I said, we're coming back to the diet, not only about dance, but dieting is very important.
It's not really a diet, if you don't mind me correcting you. It's more of a way of life.
Oh, I just hate this. Everybody could look great saying that's a way of life.
No, but you can't think of it like that, because diet has, you know, has the connotation of, oh gosh, negative. You know, it sounds like, you know, no, it's a way, it's a choice, it's a way of life.
I always tell Kat, you can eat anything you want to eat. Anything.
I like
it. It doesn't matter.
Because my way of life is eat what I want
there
to eat.
There you go. Now, the thing we do is like you can eat anything you want to eat, but you have to make sure that you have a balance between what you're taking in and what you're putting out in terms of the exercise, right? Of course, which is the balance, the combination between the two.
And if we take out exercise,
It's hard
because you need to be able to do some sort of movement, some sort of exercise, whatever you like to do to, you know, keep your body fit.
But you are dancing hours a day sometimes, and obviously, you know, you are burning calories like crazy.
It's true.
And you still need to watch.
We still have to. There's several things we still have to do. We have to watch what we eat. We have to have a healthy diet, and then the second thing we need to do is we need to make sure we're still at the gym.
Yeah.
Working out, okay? Even if we're dancing a lot, we still have to be at the gym working out. And the third thing we do is we run. Those are the three things.
Okay, that all in one day? Dancing, running, exercising, eating right, everything in one day? Or this is
and doing washing.
And doing what?
Washing.
Oh, yeah.
Washing. Oh, yeah.
The domestic activities. In general,
I believe you, Kat. I know, Kat, what you mean, because, you know, being an artist with big A, you know, comes with territory, like washing, cleaning, taking care of children. It's just, I like that you say the truth, because that's the truth.
Well,
you know, artist is the most beautiful things ever, but when we talk, oh, she's an artist.
Let's get realistic.
Yeah, you see the lady who is looking in the mirror and just looks left and right. Am I thin or not? And everything's done for her.
Do you know how much work that's taken?
yes, true. Then, obviously, Kat, you were how old you were when you started dancing?
Oh gosh, I was I was old. I was in my 20s. I was in my late 20s.
That's amazing. Did you dance? What type of dancer you are?
Okay. Well, I didn't do anything. I didn't do any dancing.
You discover your love for dancing in the age of 20.
I did. Late 20s. Yeah, I wanted to do ballet, but it didn't kind of happen in England, you know? And I was pushed towards athletics.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how hard was to just decide decide was easy probably, but really start feeling that you are a dancer, or you are a dancer that you want to be, or you feel that it's almost everything what you are on a stage is good enough, first for you, because I believe the artists first need to be happy with themselves, and then they are giving to the people. How long took you to feel like you are a real, real dancer?
Gosh, I don't know. I've always felt that I was a dancer, but it's an evolution. It's just a process. It's not something I really think about.
Wow. That's amazing.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, because a lot of people sing. I'm a singer. I was studying singing, but many times I believe that you don't need to study to be a singer.
I really believe in training.
No, ballet and training and seems like need to
well,
be.
Well, it's the
better.
Same as acting, you know. I came, you know, to this town too, and you know, you need to have your acting training too if you're going to pursue a career.
So many people on TV, they don't really have classes. They don't do anything. They're just popping up because we know them. They are reality stars, people, and then somehow we start seeing them in the movies.
That's true. That's true. But you would be surprised also how many of them do have the technique and the training.
You just probably don't hear about it.
And have done the work, you know, but you haven't heard of it.
Okay. Then cut. 20 years old, gorgeous, beautiful, tall girl. Then from 20, and then, no, I'm saying when you start at 20 years old.
27.
You were 27?
Yes.
Okay, I have an accent. I didn't hear the 7. This is beautiful. No, you look like 22.
Oh, no, I'm not 27 now. No, I'm in my late 30s.
Oh, my God. I know, I'm joking. But again, you know, that's really amazing.
That's inspiring. It's very inspiring, actually, because it shows that it doesn't matter what age you are, you can dance.
Exactly. I love it.
As long as you train and put the time into it. You know?
No, first, again, you look like you are 21.
Thank you. Did everybody hear that out there?
That's the point. For you.
I love you forever.
Then
you look gorgeous yourself.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Being an artist, it keeps us probably, you know, happy every morning, or just create in your head picture of what the next day will be like, or the year from now, where we will be, plans, you know, where your ballet, what you want to plan for next performance. This is like so emotional that mostly keeps us smiling because we love what we do.
We do love what we do. We're always doing what we're doing. It's just part of us, really.
We are always doing what we're doing, and it is a part of us. Yeah. I love it.
Okay,
it's true. It's true.
Okay, 3 years. You both met.
Do you know how we met? It was the Prince Charming story.
I love it.
He was dancing Cinderella. And he was playing Prince Charming. And I married him. Oh, my gosh, that was so...
That's a Freudian slip. That is a Freudian slip.
And there you have it. And I wasn't dancing at the time.
Okay, I still want to focus on this little tiny Mary moment. Yeah, you slipped something. You're right. You know each other how many years?
Let's see, three and a half years now.
Then in a way, you both are married.
Well, actually,
to the projects,
yes, well, actually, now that you mention that, we went to a marriage not so long ago. My sister got married. We went to her wedding, I should say, over in Kansas City, Missouri. Had a great time and made an announcement to my family over there that we were going to get married. So now we're making the announcement on the radio, and we're very excited about that.
Oh, the next, please, if you propose officially, you need to do it on accent. this need to be like, you know, next step. That would be the coolest thing ever. I would love that. Okay, and then again, I'm coming back. 3 years, 3.5 years ago, you both met. He was the Prince Charming.
He was.
And then you fell in love with him, and then you start working. You both are working amazingly. Two people put something so amazing together. It wasn't as easy to find 20, 50 people who are willing to take the phone call from both of you saying, I want to work with you people.
Right. Well, actually, you know what? It was easy. And I'll tell you why. It was easy in the sense it all happened very organically. There was no push. There was no shove. We met people over at Westside Ballet. We were rehearsing there, and we saw some dancers there. We saw some dancers and actors elsewhere, and so it all kind of just grew. Mm-hmm. And the best part now is that we have wonderful artists working with us, and we're developing great work together.
And meeting new people and collaborating and building on the work that we've created. Because really, we've been creating work this last
years. I want to focus on an explanation. What is Los Angeles Ballet Company, or you can call it.
Okay, so American Ballet of Los Angeles is a company that is putting on productions on stage and is also now starting to produce productions for television and for film. Okay. And the shows we're doing, they are musicals. They also, or not, they deal with all sorts of things, all sorts of genres, I should say.
Yes.
And but it is a fusion. So we're bringing actors, dancers, singers, filmmakers, and creating a fusion with original shows.
Wonderful. Yeah. It's so different. Okay, let's talk again about Giselle. I know you are always telling me it's not the Giselle. This is full title was.
Oh, it's the great Giselle.
And putting something like that together was very unusual. You came to me and said, okay, Ilona, we can take your song, which is a dance and electronica song. Well, we would love to, you know, put in our performance, you know, storyline.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that's very unusual. And then you had very unusual also artists, singers, pop singers,
sure,
because some of the part of the story was happening in Monaco, yes? Who was your main star in the show?
Well, we had several.
It's definitely an ensemble piece.
Yes.
We had a very strong cast of
dancers, actors, singers.
20 performers, okay?
Yeah.
We have, for example, Marine Devachon. We have Grace Tianco. We have Stephanie Holler. These are some of our ballerinas who did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
We also have Brad Kilmer. We have Cassandra. We have you as well, wonderful singers that provided the music,
for the
musical backdrop for the story.
I was so happy for that. I was so happy. There was I was so sad I couldn't be personally and watch. But now when we have video, I first and foremost, I will post this on Accent on Facebook website, and my part or not part will just post that people can see, because I think people need to know more.
And you know what, this is like, it's, I'm glad you brought that up, because right now we're working hard to get the word out, you know, we're promoting, and luckily enough, you know, we've had some people from Italy and also here in Los Angeles that have contacted us to do productions with them. So it's working. The company, the name of the company, American Ballet of Los Angeles, it's getting out not only here, but it's also getting out internationally. So there's two projects that
they know how to find you. We need to do even better job to scream, you know.
Do a better job at the marketing to make sure that we have a fuller house and all that. For sure.
Okay, the next project, please.
The next project we're very excited about is called Spadolini and the Black Stone of Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful action-adventure story that we are in the process of writing up right now.
Wow.
We were contacted by a man named Marco Travaglini, who is the nephew of the real Alberto Spadolini.
Wow.
Now, Alberto Spadolini was a very incredible artist that lived in Italy, and he was in France for a long time in the 40s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. He was really famous because he was chosen, handpicked by Josephine Baker to dance with her.
In Paris. Oh.
So they danced together in Paris, and he made a name for himself there. They had a tumultuous love affair for many, many years, both of them. So in our story, in our version, it starts off with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes into something else.
We start from love story.
It starts off with a kind of a love story, an old love story that's kind of reignited again. You know?
I love that.
But what's really cool is that our story, Spadolini and the Black Stone of Mecca, it's basically an action-adventure story. So Spadolini, he's an artist, but he's also a spy.
That's right. It's like Casablanca meets
James
Bond.
So he's a spy.
Movie.
He's a spy, and he has, his mission is actually to retrieve the Black Stone of Mecca that's been stolen and to take it back to Saudi Arabia.
That's for real? This was like a real life story?
It's our story.
Okay, look at me. I had a open mouth because
I love the name. His name is Spado, for sure.
No, it's beautiful.
Spado. It sounds so like, I don't know, it just sounds so fun, doesn't it?
Yes, and very real.
Very real.
Come on, the creator.
Yeah, like a James Bond of the 40s, if you will. From that time period. From World War II time period.
The clothing, the gorgeous, you know, music, obvious.
Yeah.
Will this be from 1940s?
This one takes place in 1939. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to create a franchise later to have a second feature and then a third feature and all that. But for now, the first story is going to take place in 1939. And we're planning on shooting it in France, Italy, and Switzerland, or Germany, or both. So it'll be a co-production. We are looking for producers and investors who are interested in producing this feature film with us. And
how can we find you?
Well, you can find us by contacting us at American Ballet of Los Angeles, ballet@gmail.com.
Or on Facebook.
Also under American Ballet of Los Angeles. And you can also check out our website at AmericanBalletOfLosAngeles.com.
Yeah. I know, you know, it's always feels like, oh my gosh, it's so much. We need to find the money, you know, because art is great, but the money what really runs forward in production. And this is always the hardest part for the artist to just take care of also about business. And how much production like that you think will cost you? We cannot say probably.
Well, no, we can.
Because this grows.
Well,
probably.
Let me give an example. We have three major projects we're pushing right now that we're writing. One of all three of them will be for feature films, and all of them will be stage production. Okay. Now they vary in cost. Why? Because some would be shot in Los Angeles, some would be shot in Poland, and then some would be shot elsewhere. So it just kind
Poland.
Of depends. Yeah, we
me
have a
going,
one. We
yes.
have a wonderful story we that have, takes place in Poland.
Yeah,
oh my gosh!
I cannot
oh
wait
my
for
gosh.
This one.
This writer we know, who's a friend of ours, her name's Roma King, she wrote a wonderful novel called Footsteps in the Snow. And right now we've written up the first six pages
adapting
of the screenplay,
it.
Adapting yes. it first for a film. And so it's about a family, a Polish family that escapes from Siberia, also in 1939.
But they get separated.
That
would be
wife.
A cool story. Actually.
Great story.
I don't know if people know the World War II stories about Polish people
well,
being
gonna
taken.
Find out,
yeah,
they?
Taken to Siberia.
I think it's great to hear about those and document those and tell
exactly.
stories about those events.
Yeah, because you really don't hear this so much. You know, when you are in Europe, we understand the situation, but outside of European countries, you know, the story of so many millions of people who died,
yes.
you know,
oh,
in Siberia,
yeah.
and
oh, yeah.
how this happened, and
incredible.
How people were just separated
oh,
from
gosh.
Nowhere in a second, everything
right.
fell
oh,
apart, and you couldn't find out ever where your
family
is.
Exactly, and this story has those elements in it. It's a wonderful story,
the male
and,
protagonist,
yeah,
the
who's
father.
Trying to find yeah. the family again.
It's very cool.
You know, very great story. So
I cannot wait to meet Roma.
Yeah.
I really would love to. And we'll have her on Accent On.
That would be wonderful. That would be
wonderful. She's a
wonderful lady. And then just to get back to, in terms of kind of the cost. So anyways,
yes.
it all varies. But for example, maybe you have a stage production that would cost, let's say, $100,000.
Okay.
You can even do one for less than that. You could do one, let's say, for $25,000 or $50,000. It really depends on the size of it, on many,
yeah,
many
because
things.
Because you can go
many,
and go
many
with
things.
Your
yeah,
creation,
sure.
but
it just depends.
You need to
on
start
film, the film, the same thing. Let's say you're doing a film. Maybe it's $500,000. Yeah. Maybe the next one's $2 million. Maybe the next one's $5 million. But you always find out what works for that project and fit it around
that. But also, I think outside of money, people who would like to just work on a project and just devote the time and their talent and their equipment,
absolutely.
Open
yeah.
arms.
Oh, we love
say,
to collaborate.
Oh, we collaborate. Yeah, we definitely are open to collaborations, aren't we, honey?
Absolutely. Oh, I like that. You know, I found so many wonderful people in Los Angeles that many people say, oh, don't even call them. They will never answer your phone because they cost so much money. And I said always, oh, I have funky accent. Nobody really knows me, but what I have conviction, I have a vision, I have my music, and I can only ask.
Exactly.
Of course I'm nervous to ask. Of course it's always very hard for me to pick up the phone and just describe what I want to say and being just that people have time to listen what I want. Right. But I found out that, you know, maybe 10 times people say no, but the 11th one comes, changes my life forever.
That's right.
Then again, you know, anybody who listened to us and loves the two already stories that we mentioned and knowingly that this can be turned into movies.
Absolutely.
And, you know, then again, please contact.
Yeah. Yes, please contact contact Eddie and Kat Hawks at AmericanBalletOfLosAngeles@gmail.com. And you know what's great is that the genres we're working with, we're doing action adventure, we're doing a romantic comedy, we're doing a dance comedy, and we're also doing drama and projects that deal with like the, kind of like superhero types. We're creating new superheroes.
Wow.
That's one project we're doing that we haven't spoken about. We're going to create some new superheroes.
Well, we're doing it right now.
We're creating it now right now. And
do you have a vision who the superhero will be?
Oh, yeah. We actually have a vision of we've created four new superheroes and two, let's say, anti-heroes.
I'm ready to get the paper and the acrylics out and start drawing them, getting them storyboarded out.
And one of them,
Why not?
We have a very wonderful actor, actually, who's very well established, which we can't say because we're still developing the project. But it's a fun project. Really fun project.
You know, of course, I'm the biggest fan, and I cannot wait to see what will and when we can talk more about what is the next step, okay? Okay, then I would like to hear a little bit more, because I know Cassandra has some really, really good role in your...
It was her music.
It was her music.
It was mostly her music.
And she's doing very well. She was so close to being, I think, featuring a Grammy, nominated for Grammy.
We're rooting for her. Exactly, next year.
Will happen to all of us. In 2013... we are thinking that this is the year for big change. Yes?
That's so right.
This is the beginning.
This is the beginning of a very great year for a lot of us, for everyone.
Then, you know, coming back to your day, both of your days, because, again, you are almost married. You know, brain and creativity comes out practically from the moment when you both wake up and go and drink coffee or tea, whatever you do, and say, okay, what the day will be like. What is the day for you?
Well, the day, okay, I'm going to say, if you could imagine waking up to 150 Marvel comics on the wall. That's how the day begins.
Really? Oh, really?
Oh, it's cool. Though.
Literally.
It's cool. We put this installation up in the studio that we have.
I've been collecting comic books for a long time, Marvel, DC, and others, independent ones as well. So I collected about 300 comic books, and I've had them in boxes for years.
Then you open the box right now,
we opened up the boxes, and then I told Kat one day, I'm all, hey, honey, what do you think if I start putting the comic books up on the wall? You know, so she's all, sounds like a good idea. So I started putting them up, and we're all, wow, this is great. We love it. And they're not in boxes anymore. They're up on the wall.
Now when you are serious about this, I can imagine this is like art and decoration.
Cool. It's nice. It's very nice. It's all one wall. And
look at this decoration. Aww. Now maybe you'll be the decorator. You know.
Oh, no, I decorate too.
You are decorating too.
I love decorating. But actually, Eddie's mom's an amazing decorator.
How does this happen?
She's a wonderful decorator. She's a wonderful artist, actually. That's where I became an artist, was through my mother.
Yeah, we didn't start. I know the last time when you both were here, we were talking a little bit about your past, Eddie, but if you can explain us how, you know, you were not 27 when you started dancing?
No, I was younger. I started when I was 16.
Okay.
And which is a kind of about an average age for male dancers. And I got into it through musicals. They needed a dancer, and I had been doing musicals at my high school in Temple City. Temple City High School had a wonderful musical department and performing arts and all that. So they needed some dancers. I said, sure, why not? And that was the beginning right there.
And then you were dancing outside of America?
No. And in the beginning, I was dancing. Of course, I was training here. Got a lot of my training in Long Beach Ballet with David Wilcox over there. He's still there. And then eventually I got a contract. My first big break was over in Hamburg with the Hamburg Ballet.
Okay.
That was John Neumeier over there.
How long did you dance in Hamburg?
I was with the company, I think it was about 4 years. And I ended up staying there longer. And then I guested up in San Francisco with Lyons Contemporary Ballet. And then actually stopped dancing for about 6 years when I went to France. So I stopped dancing.
What did you do there?
I taught English, and then I was working on some film projects, developing some film projects there, and that was it. I was doing just not dancing, not one step for about 6 years.
And then one day you just had the urge to do a grand jeté out of the window.
Well,
oh no!
That sounds like Le Sophie.
Inspector
de la Rose.
Oh, that's scary. I don't know.
No, I didn't jump out of a window. I think, what was it? I needed a job. That's what happened.
Okay.
So I started dancing again.
I meant you were inspired to dance. That's what I meant.
But you're right. Being in France and just teaching English and seeing everything, probably what you just wanted to see, going to galleries and just walking the streets, and you needed to be inspired, or you were so tired of dancing that you just needed to take a break. It's always two ways. You know, I when I was singing all my life and I was traveling, won the festivals and just started being sent all around the world to just sing and perform, you know, by my country. I had special visa. We know that Polish people couldn't travel freely, but I had this artist visa. And I was just, after 10 or 7 or 8 years of traveling, always on, packing, unpacking. And I was a very young mother also, and I was married then also. And I was so tired after 10 years. And I said, oh, gosh, I love to sing, but really, I just hate my life. Right. I just hate my life, you know. And you said 6 years, you decided to do something else. For me, singing was just tough profession, you know. Again, when I was on a stage, it seemed so easy, but then coming back to cooking, being mama, and having a husband, being young, and just a responsibility for whole family, and then solidarity war, and lines and no food, and just winters in Poland. Oh my gosh, you know, and just and then no work for artists at all, you know. It just worn you down so much, and I just was tired, and I took a break 2 years, I think, from singing, and then I was then in America, then I was mommy again, and then when I got pregnant, my second child, took me like, I think, 3 years, 3 or 4 years, start dreaming again, then maybe in America I can do something. Oh boy, there was a dream that sometimes, you know, I think, maybe I was wrong to dream about it, because like you want to do something, you say, oh, I need $5 million, $3 million. When you talk today, you think this will maybe never happen. It's so far away, dream is so far away, but burns your brain, burns your whole, and you need to do it. With me, was the same way.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the same.
I had bad English, I didn't know anybody in America, I had a beautiful child, I have a great husband, everything was going well, but what was missing is that's who I was in Europe.
The singing, right?
The singing.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me with the dancing, the exact same thing. Because after 6 years, I ended up stopping for different reasons. I had to, as a dancer, I needed to kind of just let the body rest, recover, and heal. Because we put, as a dancer, a world-class dancer, when you're dancing on a very high level, you're jumping, you're turning, you're feeling it in your joints, you know, all the dancing. And also you get injuries along the way, which need to heal. So I think my body was tired. It was telling me, okay, you know, Eddie, you need to relax for a little bit and do something else. So I went and I started to teach, as I told you, English and do other things. But when I came back to America, back to Santa Barbara, I moved to Santa Barbara for about 3 years. When I came back to America again, that really strong need and instinct to dance again came back to me. And then I knew, wait, I need to start dancing again. And, you know, and I started dancing there with one of the companies there.
In
Santa Barbara. And then I danced with another company. And then next thing I knew, I was dancing with 2-3 companies, you know, and guesting here
busy,
and there.
Busy,
and I thought, okay, I'm back home with the dance. You know?
And that's the bestest moment, when you start, you find a home for yourself, home for what you want to do, and this is home inside of you.
Exactly.
Inside. I love this moment.
That's
when you,
great.
Yeah, it's just I remember this moment when I start thinking, like, I ask you, you know, you were 27, but this is the moment, for me, was the moment Eddie described too, that I start feeling, maybe I belong still to art. Maybe I have something to offer. And I knew I cannot breathe anymore without doing something about music. And it's just the hardest way is for all people who love artists around, but they, in a way, do not understand how hard profession this is, how it eats us alive. And so much hopes is put into another performance or another song, and if things do not happen in big whoa and clap, we really need to pick ourselves up again and start the new project, you know, and it's just pretty depressing sometimes.
That's true, you're right.
You have to look at it as an evolution, though.
Exactly. I was going in that direction.
You can't
too.
Look at it as finite like that.
It's not the end result,
you know?
Is it?
It's not. It's
then
not.
Maybe I am too dramatic. Then please give me the hope. You said evolution. I like that.
Yeah.
That means that what?
It's a process.
This is a process of failing,
process.
Picking
yeah.
myself up.
Yeah.
And even living out the characters, just like living them out. And whether you have, you know, 500, 2,000, 50 people in the audience, it doesn't matter. It's like, what matters is that you're living through those characters, you're performing, and then those people out there, they're taking it in, and there's this little relationship that starts to you know, happen between the audience and the performer, and then there's a lot of positive
you're
things.
You're actually sharing a message, obviously, as an artist, with your audience, aren't you? So, or whoever that audience is.
Yeah, and the hardest, I think, for both of you and a big show like that you need to eventually say bye to people who are on the stage with you. You need to say bye to public and knowing that, you know, you just need to move to another project, but the one before seems like it's already done.
Yeah,
and maybe
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's like you get this really high climactic moment, and then all of a sudden it's over, right?
It's over.
But
that,
you know what, our goal, movies is the same thing. But what we're really, what would be wonderful, I guess, or ideal would be to have that show that's ongoing and running for,
and
you know, meaning like we're in Las Vegas, they have those shows that run all year round. So we want to have that show too. And we were thinking Spadolini and the Black Stone of Mecca could be one of them, you know, an action adventure story, you know, that with an Italian a spy who, you know, is helping here and helping there.
We've been inspired by Spielberg, of course, you know, Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones,
yeah. That's why it's definitely. Like Spadolini,
and
the Black Stone.
Filming another one, yes, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, I think that's
I'm sure he's
one.
Got 15 projects right now.
He's a very busy man.
Yeah, okay, then again, time is running out like always, very, very fast. And I love you guys. And I know that we'll
too.
Be having soon probably Roma with us. Yes.
Absolutely.
Roma King.
Yes, Roma King.
And she's the lady who wrote the book. Mm-hmm. That
Footsteps in the Snow. Yes.
And you are hoping to turn this into a movie for sure to some type of production.
That's right. A movie production that will be shot in Poland and then a stage version that will be premiered in Los Angeles.
And again, we are looking for investors. We are looking for anybody who thinks they can
people,
bring something.
That's right. People that love the arts, film, dancing, acting, singing, and also that want to conduct business and make a return. Mm. Because at the end of the day, it is a business, isn't it? Yeah. So we want to push that as a business
well
as well,
said,
of
Eddie.
Course. Oh, thank
that
you.
Wonderful. Commercialism.
Commercialism. Capitalism, right? We are Americans.
Looks like we have somebody calling.
Oh, we've got someone calling in. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What type of show you have?
Oh, what type of show? A show that I hope entertains everybody. Uh-oh, we lost you. Oh, I'm so sorry. Anyway, I hope you will call us back. Anyway, it's 6:48. We need to say bye-bye to Los Angeles for this Monday. And first and foremost, to my wonderful guest. I know you'll be back probably next month. And again, www, please, can you give us a website?
Yes, AmericanBalletOfLosAngeles.com or AmericanBalletOfLosAngeles@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Alona. It's been a wonderful
Thank
time,
you so
as
much.
Always. It's been great. Thank you so
great.
Much.
Thank you so much. And Easy Come, Easy Go by Ilona Europa.
I like it.
I believe I didn't mean to hurt you when I said maybe you are not so right about the other thing. I believe we've reached the point of no return. I believe you didn't mean to hurt me when you said
to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.